What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Those trees look like something's hairy knees in the woods that call my name. In the woods it calls my name.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm Jay Clone 32.
Beep, boop, beep, beep. And we're so excited for today. If you guys have noticed, that's a little bit of a different intro.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, some of my favorite music.
I think I probably only heard that song about a thousand times in your car.
Don't start that already. No, today we're super excited for the guest. And before we even get into that, I have to give a huge shout out to our Patreon crew.
Yep.
I know for a fact it was Brandon, Nicole,
Connor.
Caroline, Connor, Ambrosia, and who am I forgetting?
Brendan? Was Brendan?
Maybe Brendan did it too.
In on that?
If I missed one of you guys, I'm sorry, but we appreciate you guys greatly for, you guys set this up, you know, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an amazing thing. Pretty much, if you've been to my house in the last couple years, you've heard these guys' music in some way, shape, or form. They're in our cryptid playlist for the Patreon group.
Yep.
They're about 20% of it. You know, they're the only artist, I think, in there that has more than one song.
Probably, yes. I'd say so.
But we want to give a huge shout out to Noah from Senior Pinch coming on the show. Thank you, Noah, for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be here. The Cryptids of the Corn.
Yes, welcome. Welcome to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. We've been listening to you for a couple years now.
At least three.
Well, yeah.
Because I think Gone Squatching is 4 years old.
And yeah, that sounds about right.
Because I remember how excited I was for Dogman Blues. So before we get rocking and rolling and talking about all this stuff, please, please, you know, tell everybody where to find you and everybody at home. I'll put all the links in the description below. How you want these guys to support you and find your guys' amazing music.
Yeah, thank you. So the band is Senor Pinch. Find us all on all the, the traditional streaming platforms, social media platforms. It'll be YouTube and Spotify probably the biggest places, but Amazon Music, iTunes, all that stuff. Basically anywhere you can find music, you can find us. And yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm trying to think. Me and Emily just, Emily's my wife. We just went kayaking on the river, there's no signal. So the Spotify link broke. There's only like 8 songs.
Oh, and
guess what two of them were?
I can already guess.
Gone Squatchin'
and Dogman Blues.
That poor Boy Scout group. They heard me howling like an idiot.
I can believe
it. For about 9 hours.
Yeah, I already know.
So I got a quick question. You said we're 20% of your cryptid playlist. I got to know, what's the other 80% of your cryptid playlist?
Well, the Howard Brothers Band is one of our Patreon groups, Connor, one of the guys that commented on your guys' stuff to get us together. Mm-hmm. That's his father-in-law and uncle-in-law.
That's right. Yes, they're brothers.
We made a stupid comment about them one day. Because we're like, I thought it was his whatever and his whatever.
I thought it was dad, not his uncle.
Yeah, it's both.
Yeah, the band's called Howard Brothers Band.
The two brothers. They have a song about, like, Mama Leeds, you know, the Leeds Devil. It's on the Crypts of Corn YouTube page. Like, we share it.
Okay. All those songs are?
Yeah, okay, it's attached. Okay. It's called Cryptid Music Playlist,
I think is what it's called. That's our book.
Okay. I'll try to put that in the description below, like I said.
Just Google it.
Just Google. I don't care.
Yeah.
No, so, but I'm trying to think. I'm really want to say that me and Emily heard Gone Squatchin' on Monsters Among Us. I don't know how many years ago it was. But
that was probably 2 years ago. I was in contact with Derek Hayes and his wife, who helps run the production side of things.
Nice.
Yeah, he played. He was kind enough to play Gone Squatchin' as well as Dogman Blues on one of his Hometown Legends episodes.
Awesome.
That's probably 2022 at this point.
Because we started the podcast in
2022. We started late 2022.
Okay, then that makes sense.
Yeah, I know that always confuses you.
It does. I know. COVID thing is just...
I know.
A blind spot. So we got tons and tons of questions for you. Anybody that didn't know, the intro music to this episode was Gone Squatchin'. It was a snippet, about a minute and a half. What would we say? One chorus, one ballad kind of thing.
Yeah.
Gone Squatchin' holds a really, really special place in my heart, and we'll talk about that today. When we started, you know, we've been very blessed with the Bigfoot community.
Mm-hmm.
With speaking at some big Bigfoot festivals, and I think Gone Squatchin' captures a really good look at that kind of view of the Bigfoot community.
I agree with that. Yeah, like getting into Bigfoot, like just the experience of looking for Bigfoot or wanting to see Bigfoot.
When you make that flip
to
taking it seriously.
Right, yeah.
Because we talked about casual, which is completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do Bigfoot casually. Like, that's more what we do anymore.
Right.
But that's more because my body has failed me. But no, tell us about Senior Pinch. How'd you guys all come together? There's 5 of you, right, that kind of help do this thing?
Yeah, it's 5 of us.
So kind of just talk about that, yeah.
Yeah, so we came together. We all grew up in the same area, same town, varying ages, but within 3 or 4 years of each other. All went to the same high school, basically. And we came together because my older brother was getting married and was looking for down in Mexico, and was looking for a wedding band. And some of us had played music together before in the past. Some of us, you know, hadn't. But I had pretty much played music with all of them. I was kind of like the link between everybody. And it was my brother getting married, so I kind of like it was kind of like the Magnificent Seven or the Avengers or whatever. Like, I kind of picked the team who I wanted, and we assembled and we were kind of we became the live wedding band. And I don't really recall how the name Senor Pinch came around exactly. I knew that we were trying to go by Imitation Crab for a while there. Like, getting drunk in Mexico, somehow that changed from Imitation Crab to Senor Pinch somehow.
That's great.
That sounds like us.
The fact you were in Mexico,
I don't recall the exact like logical A, B, C, D process I went through, but that was kind of the quick backstory.
Right. Started at Imitation Crab, ended up at Senor Pinch.
we had multiple names. I was pushing for a Guantanamo Bidet for a while there.
Oh, that's a good one.
But Senor Pinch, we finished on that, and it's the most bizarre and
simple.
It makes the least sense, but also the best in a way.
Yeah,
I love it because I think I made up a whole cryptid around Senior Pinch.
I'm pretty sure you did.
And one of our Patreon episodes where it was the giant crustacean scene in the Baja Peninsula. Where they call those perfect. They call those Senior Pinch. Because they'll pinch your boat in half.
Well, there you go.
That's perfect.
No, so it fits.
It's hilarious. No, I love it. And it's just so you guys all knew each other within 4 years of each other. That's awesome. Same hometown, which is that in California?
Yeah, yeah. We're all from Manhattan Beach, California, which is in the South Bay of Los Angeles. It's a little beach town. And yeah.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, because we tried searching you. We tried Googling you. We tried. I mean, this is not just recent.
Much like the cryptids we sing about, we're off the grid.
Yes, you are.
You don't even understand. I've been trying to do this for about 2 years.
The yeah. only way to get in touch with us is if you bully your Patreon members.
Apparently.
Or they bully you.
Yeah, they bullied you.
Yeah.
We just taught them well.
It was so funny because when Tim emailed, I don't even know if we said this on air or off air yet about that fully, that Tim emailed, and I just seen it was, you know, Tim, and he put in parentheses from Senior Pinch. And I'm like, what?
I know. I was sitting in here.
Yeah, we were sitting in here recording, yeah. doing stuff, and I'm like, I thought it was somebody screwing with me, to be real honest. Because you guys don't even know how much I love you guys. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, okay, somebody's screwing with me.
Yeah.
And then
it would have been a great joke.
The Discord had about 50 messages about, hey, everybody go over and comment on what I think Gone Squatching was the one they picked.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, it just is amazing. So
no, you guys, it's great. It's always there's sort of a running joke with the band that we make a lot when we get together, which is fewer and fewer these days, but we always laugh. We sort of think of our fan as singular. It's like, oh, Senior Pinch has a great fan. You know, one day we would love to meet the fan. You know,
well, his name is Justin. You're talking to him.
We really appreciate every single one of you guys out there. You know, we love all of you guys.
Little did you guys know, you were saying it as a joke, but it turned out it was true.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. You guys are literally the first fans I've ever talked to, so I appreciate it.
You don't even understand, seriously. We've talked about you guys in front of 30,000 people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we kind of had a similar joke on our end about Justin saying, like, I think your last or Gone Squatching video on YouTube, how much is it up
it's
to?
It's 5,100 and some change.
Okay, it's that many. And we're like, oh, yeah, about 3,000, just you.
Anybody comes over the house, Gone Squatching, Dogman Blues. But I love it. We were literally just playing Gutter Butter. Because that's you. Gutter Butter is you.
It's me, apparently. I gotta really study the lyrics on that one.
it's truly awesome that it's just how weird how life works sometimes.
Oh yeah,
connecting me finding your music and that kind of stuff, and literally falling in love with the music, and you know I'm kind of like you joke about it, but I'm constantly am playing it.
Oh, it's yeah, we're not. I'm not joking.
No, but picking on me about it.
Oh yeah, case. Picking on you,
but you know, but I am constantly playing it. It's on at least every Spotify playlist.
At least it's good music.
It's awesome. You guys do an awesome job.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I very much enjoy the music, very much. So I don't mind when you play it. It's just I find it funny teasing you about it.
No,
because I
played it a lot.
We were at the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival. Yeah, and he did play it. Justin made sure that.
Well, first Brian, the guy that was DJing. Hey Brian, love you, bud.
Brian Wolf of Wolf Brian Boom Wolf, Radio.
Wolf Rock Radio. He's like, I don't know if I have that.
Oh, Wolf Rock Radio. That's
Wolf
right.
Wolf Rock.
Yeah.
Wolf Rock
Radio. That was something else.
I was like, well, you know, I went Gone Squatcher by Senior Pinch. And he's like, I don't know if I have that. I'm like, Brian, I'm going to walk away for about 5 minutes, and you better have it when I come back.
And it played about 10 minutes.
It played in about 10 minutes. So it did play. I don't know if he went to YouTube or whatever.
He did. He went to YouTube to get it. Yeah.
Because he's like, my software didn't have that.
Yeah, I know it didn't.
Well, that was very... clear.
You sent me on the mission to request it, and I'm like, Yank, I know how DJ software works. He's not going to have that one, but I'll tell him.
You don't want Justin to come back up here.
No, you were persistent. I wrote it down and told him. He's like, okay. And there, and sure enough, it played.
You better believe Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree on the hour, every hour, Gone Squatching.
Yeah, I'm not, I believe you.
It's in Brian's contract.
It's a promise, yeah.
No, so... you know, we already mentioned Gone Squatching a ton of times. So, how'd you guys come up with that kind of feel?
Gone Squatching specifically?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always really been into Bigfoot. You know, I remember when I was a kid, one of my first books I got back when Amazon was still a online bookshop back when there was dial-up internet. I remember logging on, and my mom explains, "Oh, there's a website you can buy books. You can buy any book you want." And I one of the first books, if not the first book, was a book on cryptozoology. And the cover was Bigfoot, and Bigfoot was always kind of the Salmon Loch Ness monster, and
right.
A couple others are kind of the Mount Rushmore. And over time, I became less obsessed with Bigfoot and more obsessed with people who study Bigfoot and who are obsessed with Bigfoot, because the song Gone Squatchin' is less about Bigfoot and more about a character study of a guy who's into Bigfoot,
mm-hmm.
and the loneliness and the isolation of that and the stigma. It's like, I don't know about you guys, but I have a full-time job that's not music. And if you tell someone you're into Bigfoot, you kind of lose credibility. And it's, mm-hmm. and you get, if you're at Thanksgiving dinner and you talk about Bigfoot, it's kind of like no one wants to hear about that, or else it become a joke. So, and then all of that emotional depth is what I try to capture in the song. It was less about Bigfoot. As a matter of fact, the word Bigfoot isn't mentioned in the song whatsoever.
Not at all. Yep.
It's really just about the isolation and loneliness of a guy who's into this weird, obscure thing.
I mean, 100%, literally, sometimes I play it and I get goosebumps because you nailed it on the head. When we had our Bigfoot encounter, my family, me and my brother, my dad,
mm-hmm.
we didn't talk about it for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years, because of that feeling. Of the, mm-hmm. that's not what we've seen. I still didn't believe in Bigfoot for probably about 3 years after that. And we've seen one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just...
And yet I imagine multiple people around your neighborhood, I don't know, not neighborhood, I use loosely, but people in your area are probably experiencing the same thing and also not saying anything, right? Because everyone is probably saying...
When you listen to... you just started listening to the show when we started contact with each other. You'll hear, like, Greg literally had a Bigfoot encounter a quarter mile from where I had mine the same year. Mm-hmm. And Greg, oh, he's been on it. He doesn't care.
Okay.
Greg's a good, like, grew up with my dad. He's a great man. He's going to be one of our security officers at our Bigfoot Festival. And I've known him my whole life, right? I've known this guy my whole life.
And you guys are in Western Ohio, is that correct?
Northwestern Ohio, yeah. The coldest part of Ohio and flat.
So south of Toledo, is that?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Literally, that's about the best way to describe it.
Yeah, it is.
Because we're near nothing. So, you know, Greg, he came up to us and, I had a Bigfoot encounter. It was so shocking because I've known this guy my whole life, never once brought it up.
Never. And I've known him a big portion of my life, over half my life, yeah.
Well, like I said, he was really, like, him and dad used to run around. Like,
yeah.
Graduated together, they mm-hmm. were. And he was, you could tell when he came on the show, anybody that listens to that episode, the Greg's Bigfoot Encounter is literally what it's titled. You can tell that how uncomfortable he was at the beginning of the episode. And then by the end of it, he was having so much fun with it.
Yeah.
Because nobody was judging him here and that kind of stuff.
Much more relaxed.
And now his life's completely different. Like, he has Bigfoot in his yard. He's coming to he's running security at a Bigfoot festival. Like,
mm-hmm.
So that isolation feeling is so, so real. I won't mention the last name of this one, but Scott's another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he literally, a buddy of a listener, when we hung out with him, and he was talking about how much his family picks on him about his strange encounter.
Right, yeah.
And he literally brought us into his local bar and was like, see, these people believe in Bigfoot too.
Yeah.
See, these people believe in Bigfoot too.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it just, it calls your name.
There you go.
But that bite, that really is such a great line, because if anybody hasn't seen one, or maybe it doesn't have to be Bigfoot, but the paranormal, the extra. If you haven't mm-hmm. had any of those experiences, you don't get it. But when you just see a bit of the other side,
mm-hmm.
there's that hook
mm-hmm.
where some people turn away and lock inside themselves, and it's horrible. And others are just, after a couple of years, they come out and they're like, it's drawing them. Just, and that Bigfoot researcher, like you said, some of them go full bore. Now this is my life. This is what I do now.
Yeah.
But I think you nailed it on the head is all. A long way of saying
that. Yeah. What you're saying I think you guys nailed it on the head. It's the guy in the song, his life becomes, consumed by it. He's gonna get fired from his job if he's not showing up to work because he's staying out squatching.
Right.
And like you said, he didn't see a full squatch. It could have been like a shadow, but in this case, he saw something's hairy knees.
Yep.
It wasn't even a full glimpse of something concrete. It was just a a glimpse, an image that he's obsessed with. And like you said, yeah, it's in the woods, and it's and also the calls his name thing is also sort of a callback to the idea that they mimic people's I think it's a Native American thing or something.
Yeah.
I've come across it somewhere where supposedly Sasquatch can mimic the voices of humans and call people's names and lure them into the woods. That's sort of the more nefarious side of of the Sasquatch legend. But so there's sort of a double thing going on there. But yeah, that's kind of the idea of the song. It's a guy. It's almost like Ahab from Moby Dick, just completely mm-hmm. consumed by his obsession. And then you make that obsession something bizarre, and you get something truly, in my mind anyway, kind of emotionally resonant, because he's so alone, because no one doubts the existence of Moby Dick really in Moby Dick, but in Gone Squatchin', this guy is, there's no crew, there's no Ishmael, there's no Queequeg, you know, he's just by himself in this lonely world.
And 100%, right? Because it forever it was like that, and now due to shows like Finding Bigfoot, Mountain Monsters, those are the two I credit for me personally.
To open you up?
For me and my family. My one brother was still never talking about it. My dad will talk about it. It's literally in Mountain Monsters, you can say whatever you want about the show. In Finding Bigfoot, you can say whatever you want about the show. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that putting that out in the public eye to a level that now we can talk about it.
Destigmatizing the weirdness of Bigfoot.
I mean, we literally have had very elderly people on the show, or not in on the show, but come up to us and tell their stories, you know, and all these stories die with people every year because that stigma of that if you believe in Bigfoot, you're crazy.
Right.
So they rather just never admit or never to themselves, never admit to themselves. I mean, I did that for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lived 40, 50, 60 years ago, you know, they would not make fun of you at Thanksgiving or at a bar, you know, they'd probably throw you out through the glass. And like, oh, we talked about it off air. Bob Gimlin, that's why I love, you can say whatever you want about Bob, anybody, I don't care. I love him to death because he's never once changed a story, never once faltered. Every person that's ever said they've been in the costume, he's been like, well, they weren't, whatever.
Yeah.
Never fought, though.
Super kind about everything.
Super kind.
Which says a lot.
As people literally are yelling at his face about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So to get that, like, that's Gone Squatch in the song is just, to me, embeds something about this community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been very blessed with being a very large part of this community now, you know. From 3 years ago to
somehow,
now.
Somehow.
But we've been very blessed.
Absolutely.
You know, like you said, we spoke at the biggest one in the biggest Bigfoot festival in the world.
Still surreal.
And like I said, I've talked about you guys' song, that one in particular, for, you know, Bigfoot festivals everywhere, because it's so true. It literally rings out that feeling. But now, you know, that feeling's kind of going away with some of these festivals. Like with Hocking, 65,000 people.
Yeah.
Show up for one weekend to hang out and talk about Bigfoot. You know, and that one has people from all over the world that show up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very blessed that ours has people from all over the world.
That's right. October 5th.
October 5th. Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. Come. Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree 2. Senior Pinch will be there.
Yeah.
No, so what? Do you have something to say?
I love Gone Squatch. It's a great song. I'm glad you introduced me to it. And yeah, I know. I think it's great. I absolutely love it.
So it sounds like Justin has been subjecting Jay to
he. Let's just say he strongly
sort of a psyop.
It's a psyop. Yeah, he's getting me into the all of it. Yeah, just through music. No. He's definitely force fed me a lot of Senior Pinch, but. It could have been bad music. Let's put it that way. Thank goodness it was good music.
Like Billy the Mountain.
Hey, leave Billy alone.
Music sucks.
We'll bring that up later. I was going to bring that up later.
Okay. No, so like you said, you had that fascination with Bigfoot. Like, that's a lot of people that maybe didn't have a Bigfoot encounter or something like that. Bigfoot and Nessie, and I'm literally wearing the David Hardy Nessie shirt, are kind of those two, I guess, gateway drugs into the modern cryptid field. The Yeti was the big one forever.
Mm-hmm.
The Yeti's still big. No, I'm not saying the Yeti's not big, but
not as fun as Bigfoot and Nessie.
I think it is. I think it has a lot of lore. But
more scary, though.
I mean, they will murder you.
Yeah, it's not as, like, Nessie, you can dress up like a cartoon and be fun. Like, mystery. Bigfoot, same thing. He's fun. Arian Anderson's. Yeti's just always scary.
Yeti will rip you in half.
Right.
The Dite scream at your Sherpa.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I love the Dilatov Pass Yeti explanation. That's my favorite one of all the options there.
All right, real quick. You've seen that picture, right? For the Love Pass or the Love. Or
oh, the last photo of whoever. It's like that humanoid figure on the trail. Yeah.
Do you think that's one of the guys or do you think that's a Bigfoot?
Ah, man. I would say it's probably not a Yeti if I had to really say, but who knows? Who really knows?
I mean,
because some weird stuff went on there night or those couple days. So who knows?
Absolutely.
The child in me and the person who still believes in mystery wants it to be real and wants it to be this horrifying Yeti being.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, when it's gone, or when's Senior Pinch going to do a Yeti episode or a Yeti song?
Oh, it's on the, there's a couple, that's down the list though. I feel like Spring-Heeled Jack has more. Ooh. Has more
you don't
song
even know
quality.
About Spring-Heeled Jack.
I know the name. We've talked about the name.
He spit fire, jumped, and slapped boobies.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like an 1800s like sexual offender.
Fire breathing pervert.
Yeah. Yeah. But if he has springs in his heels, he can bounce over giant. Yeah. It's really, really.
So he's got a getaway.
in a literal sense, one of the more horrifying cryptids.
He literally would slap women's breast. Breathe fire in men's face and jump over walls.
Jeez. Yeah.
And he was seen, like, it was like every 20 years, 30 years.
So he comes in waves.
They think it
was only in London, I think.
Yeah, just even in that, it was a very small part of London.
It's because that's the only time they let him out of the palace.
You know how we have Jeepers Creepers here?
Yeah.
And he comes every 31 years or whatever it is.
Okay, there's a Spring Hill Jack.
There's just a molester.
Yeah, like I said, he probably lives in the palace, and they like, all right, we're sick of him for now. Let him out for a night.
Spring Hill Jack is a fun one.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
I feel like he's got legs for some kind of song.
Yeah, absolutely. He's probably just a deformed inbred royal, which is probably.
Even better.
Yeah.
Just how it is. I'd vote for him for king.
Yeah. You don't vote for
I'm
king.
I'm aware.
I know you. I know you are.
It was what's called a joke.
Oh, okay.
Keep up.
I'm trying. It's
You're
hard
the sober
with
you. One.
It's hard with you to keep up.
Yeah, I know. I'm 2 miles ahead of you.
That's right.
3 years.
40 chess.
40 chess. But no, everybody, Gone Squatching seriously is an amazing song. It was one of our first songs he introduced at Senior Pinch. I have a clip. But before we move on, do you have anything else you'd like to add for Gone Squatching?
No. Unless you guys got more questions out there, I think I'm good.
I'm well aware
of the song. You know, I'm.
No, but I'm so glad to hear what you said about it because that's what I've always felt about it from hearing it. So that's kind of neat to actually talk to somebody. You know, one of the people that made the song. You know, and you—it's the same feeling you get from.
I will say one thing about it is that I think the inspiration that really came from it was not just my interest in the subject matter and that, but there was a song by a band called The Weaker Thans called Bigfoot! Exclamation point at the end of it, Bigfoot! That kind of inspired me. It was a song that was like truly heartfelt, and Bigfoot's not even mentioned in the song, and it's just about a guy looking for Bigfoot and how everyone thinks he's a joke. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of one of the main. So if you guys want to search that out on your own, The Weaker Thans, I think, was the band. A truly beautiful song, I think.
Awesome. I will be checking
add that to the Cryptid playlist.
All right.
Yeah.
Ready for the next song?
Absolutely.
I saw a girl, she saw me. She took off running into the trees. I smell her breath, I smell her blood. She's over the next ridge, she's stuck in the mud. I've been howling at the moon, trying to shake Dogman Blues. Midwest skies, they get so cold. The last of my kind, I'm getting old.
Another amazing song.
Yes, I like that one.
So before we tell you our comments, tell us about Dogman Blues, Noah.
Yeah, Dogman Blues is about a dogman, not a werewolf. A werewolf, I feel like, is a part-time dogman.
Thank you.
Dogman is a full-time dogman.
That's right.
the song was... I don't know about you guys, but I you guys are more in the community than I am. But I feel like Dogman kind of stormed onto the scene and kind of took over for a little while there. They kind of stole some of Sasquatch's thunder, and it became kind of a thing when I had no idea what a Dogman was.
That's so funny.
I had heard of the Beast of Bray Road, but Dogman as a phenomenon, as a cryptid, whatever, was not really something I had heard about. But it kind of became a big deal. And sort of the same way that you know, Slender Man or the Nightcrawler, things like that have done.
Yeah.
But the song is about from the perspective of a dog man, who's kind of in this sense he's a biological entity. He's not like a spirit or anything. He's an animal living somewhere in the Midwest and doing his thing, hunting young women and men that are camping and eating them. And I kind of want to paint like a Frankenstein. You ever see the original Frankenstein, 1930s?
Oh,
how he's sort of painted it in a sympathetic light, and yeah. That's the kind of one I want to do with Dogman. Dogman is every single Dogman encounter, unlike Sasquatch. Sasquatch encounters kind of run the gambit. They can go from positive guardians to teachers to sort of trying to, and then they can be really, you know, nefarious and mm-hmm. hostile, aggressive. But Dogman seems to be always kind of mean.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I wanted to paint him as sort of, yeah, he's mean because he's hunting people, but it's also just what he does. And it's sort of sad in the end because he's being hunted by these guys. You know, he's misunderstood ultimately. And yeah, so he's just an animal trying to live, and he's maybe the last one in his area, maybe the last of his entire kind. And he's being hunted to extinction because he killed a young woman.
Oh, and it just makes that poor howl in the song just... a little more like relatable.
Checkbox number two for Justin.
Number two,
because yeah. That's two that I said how yeah. I felt about him.
That's true,
and that's how they are.
Yeah, yeah.
No, because another one I absolutely love, nailed on the head. We've been talking about in our Patreon group a lot the paranormally endangered. That a lot of these cryptids are probably because I don't know, you haven't listened tons yet, but I worked with endangered species for a lot of my life. You know, my professional career and stuff like that. And I think a lot of these cryptids are probably would in some way, shape, or form classify as that also. An endangered species, whether they're full flesh and blood or not, you know. We start talking about the veil and the paranormal side of life. But they would still classify as endangered. And like you said, that feeling of, we talk about that with the Fae, is that he ate the girl, you know, he hunted and killed and ate the girl. But doesn't understand maybe why the humans are so upset with that. You know, I was hungry, I hunted, I ate. You know, very intelligent but simple thought pattern.
Basal.
Yeah, basal. Stop it. Awful, awful. No, so with that, my wife, before I continue, you have to know that this is my son's, my 1 1/4-year-old son. This is his favorite song ever, is Dogman Blues. And I tried to get you a video before we recorded this. So his favorite bit is the howling, because I howl, you know, I sing the whole song and I howl. And he'll go, ooh, like he'll howl with it.
No way.
Yeah, so he, you know, loves the song. But this whole thing of, you know, these Dogman, we talked why we were muted. You guys aren't from the Midwest. but that no. Midwest skies, they get so cold. Anybody that's never actually, you know, we live in the Midwest. We're actually in the, one of the coldest parts of the Midwest.
At times, for sure.
Well, we are one of the cold, near the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
You don't under people that don't understand winter, like in like I think the only place on this continent that has worse winters than us is Alaska. Yeah. And they have the Bering Sea. That our skies are you know our skies get so cold, literally it hurts to go outside.
Hair freezes off.
I had a chunk of my hair freeze off ice fishing one time.
Jeez.
You probably don't remember the old school, but when you get dropped off in front of the old school and you have to walk up. Okay. Yeah. You know, that long sidewalk. Mm-hmm. I had my hair freeze one winter walking to school. Yeah. It froze up. Yeah.
No. So with Dog Man,
is this, what happened to it?
What'd you say?
I said, is that what happened to it?
Yeah. The top froze off. That was a good one. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, I wasn't either. It was awesome.
Normally he throws the insults at me, not the guests. That's
surprised me.
Like, wait a minute.
You got to be nice to him legally.
Well.
That was good. But, you know, like you said, the last of his kind in the area, last of his kind of deal. Dogman's always in a bad mood. We just talked about that the last 200 years. You know, Dogman sightings are always... The best ones are just semi-annoyed with your presence. Like, that's the best, where they look at you and they snarl or grunt or whatever.
The worst are hitting you over the head with 2x4s.
No, the worst are the girl from Land Between the Lakes.
Well, yeah, I know. That's not as funny, though. Where he decorated
a Christmas tree with a 3-year-old.
That's not as funny. I was trying to go less gruesome.
What was that encounter?
The Land Between the Lakes, one of the early 70s encounters, was a family of three that were horribly murdered. And the coroner, when we found the coroner's report for that, mm-hmm. when we did that episode, the coroner said that the family had to be murdered with an axe because how deep and sharp the gouges were. But they noted a weird thing that even a brand new axe would leave metal shavings or metal flakes, you know, micro metal flakes in it. You know, and they never found any.
There was none.
The 3-year-old girl was found in two different trees.
Strung about them both.
If that paints you a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure does.
And like I said...
It could have just been done by a lonely dog man like the one in my song.
Literally, I think you're 100% right that there's just... a dog man's one of those that I think are maybe walking that line between flesh and blood and paranormal. I think they're a little bit of both. Maybe
it
made.
Seems so unlikely that it would be like evolutionary, like a standing dog. You know, it even seemed more like, I think it was Sasquatch, you know, Micah Hanks, Sasquatch Tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we know Micah Hanks.
And someone there was talking about how it's even more likely that it's a Bigfoot wearing the head of a dog, like a headdress. That's even more likely because the idea of like a bipedal wolf is so insane.
Right.
But to your point, it's almost more like it's an entity of some kind, like a spirit, it seems less likely to be real to me than something like a Sasquatch, but you know that's just me.
No, I think we're both with you there. That it's not. I personally don't think it. People talk about shooting them and having an effect, and people talk about shooting them and having no effect. I think it may be one of those things that kind of walks that line between both, whether they're magically manufactured, spiritually manufactured, you know,
or manufactured in a lab. Somewhere.
And we talk about that with government stuff.
Yeah.
But this aggressiveness, because maybe that type of magic's dead. So, you know, 200 years ago, however many there are, is kind of it. So after 150 years of people, every time they eat somebody or they kill cows or murdering these things, the numbers go way, way, way down.
Maybe dog man's attitude is a reflection of man's mind as a whole. And when the collective human consciousness is misled, the dog man becomes aggressive, lashes back.
That is something to say.
Mm-hmm. Tracks. It tracks. Prove it wrong. Can't.
I'm just a huge fan of any of sort of the blank man cryptids, whether it's dog man or goat man,
pig man,
or or Sheepman or Frogman. I love them all, and I want more of them, honestly.
Pigman was in Seinfeld. There was an episode of Pigman. Yeah, there's a Pigman staying in the hospital, and Kramer saw him. And he keeps telling everyone, it's a Pigman, it's a Pigman. They're like, there's no Pigman living in the hospital. Then finally he gets out of his room and escapes. They help him escape, and they see him. They're like, it is a Pigman. The whole time Kramer was right.
I don't remember that one.
I forget. There's so many episodes. I can't it's this one.
No, I'll look it up after
The Pigman. You never see it.
It's real. I'm going to say it's season 4 or 5.
There you go.
There you go. Everybody heard it here first.
Oh, yeah.
First.
Thanks for backing me up.
No, but like I said, Dogman Blues is just perfect. Like, for explaining, or, you know, kind of like how we feel about Dogman as a, I guess, a community on average. You take the average feeling of Dogman, that they do a lot of bad things. Don't get me wrong. But they may not fully understand what they do is bad.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we were talking before you got in here that how alien, quote unquote, a thought pattern can seem to different species. You know, they can both be biological, where, you know, my species, we eat whenever we're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So why would any other species take offense to that? You know, we eat when we're hungry. We expect you to eat when you're hungry. Whoever's in the crossfire doesn't matter. You know, that's just what that species does.
Right.
With our species, you know, we take great offense to eating one of our kind.
Or just eating anything close, like cats and dogs, even, you know, it's like long, you know.
So we take great offense to that. So a different species that still may be intelligent may not ever be able to connect those dots.
Right.
You know, that is an alien thought.
You ever seen that poster, like that billboard? It's like, pets aren't food, but where do you draw the line? It has like cats and dogs all the way up to chickens and cows. And
horses are kind of in the middle.
And someone drew the line like right here. But, like, maybe dogmen don't have those lines at all.
So there was one that was spray-painted, and it was, like, normal life, survival mode.
That's what they wrote?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They spray-painted, like, big lines.
Yeah.
So they would stop at the horse for normal life, and then it went all the way down to the dog for survival mode.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh. It's so awful, but, I mean, it's true.
I mean, I'll eat everything but a dog.
Yeah.
Including a person.
Oh. Okay.
No, I'd eat person over dog.
Yeah, depends on the dog.
It depends on the person.
Cook it long enough, it'll be okay.
I guess so.
Well, it's one of those things, like what you were guys saying. It's I feel like in the absence of religion, there's no universal morality, right? That's one of the things about religion is that it creates an encompassing morality that people can all live under. But in the absence of that, there is none. Like you said, like this dog man might be an intelligent being, and just living its life and doing what it's supposed to do to survive. And those things that are necessary for it to survive are immoral and therefore punishable. And that's kind of the story of the song where it kills this girl who's camping, which is a bad thing that he has no clue.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a dog man living in the woods. And he's therefore hunted. The end of the song is sort of left open ended. You know, it's sort of he challenges these hunters and he's I like to think he's still, because he at the very the last chorus is, I'm still howling at the moon, so I feel like he killed all them too.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I like to think happened. Like sort of like a last stand, and he just destroys them all, and he's still alive.
Dogman lives got the blues.
He's the Manistee, Michigan Dogman.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's always what I've heard in my head.
Yeah.
Hearing the song, Manistee National Forest.
Right, yeah.
You know, this giant forest. So, I don't, you know, but for the listeners at home, for the, you know, Midwest, the East Coast Dogman, Manistee National Forest is the first settler account of Dogman, which Michigan. It's Michigan Dogman. But the
How old are we talking here?
1776, I think.
Good year.
Off the top of my head, you know, it's give or take a century. it's early, it's late 17, early 18s, somewhere in there.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's 1776 because
our independence, right?
There's the Steve Cook song,
the
Legend of 97.
Yeah, Legend of 97.
So maybe 1977
or 1777.
1777. Sorry,
your dyslexia is kicking in.
Yeah, no, it's real. where basically Michigan, you know, then that Steve Cook fully admitted that he made that part up.
Yeah.
Where it's every 10 years on the 7 year.
Yeah.
That part he fully made up. You know, he's a DJ and he made a song about it. But that was kind of, for anybody that doesn't know, the kind of American history, expansionism of settlers and that kind of stuff, Michigan was as wild as it got forever. I mean, they had every
And the Upper Peninsula still is.
Yes, 100%. It's anybody amazing. That doesn't believe in Bigfoot or Dogman or any of these things, please go to the Upper Peninsula, walk 100 feet off the road, and just stand there for half an hour.
You don't have to go that far. You just walk to the edge of the road.
I've literally ice fished the Upper Peninsula, and I've made this comment before that there could be a mammoth standing 30 feet from me in some of those areas, and I would never know. I walked up on an elk herd in the Lower Peninsula, but the northern end of the Lower Peninsula, going ice fishing. An elk herd. I never knew they were there. You know, we're talking, you know, 700 to 900 pound animals. There's probably 30 of them.
Yeah.
So now a Bigfoot that doesn't want to be found, or a dog man, or any of these kind of guys.
Anything with real sentientship.
Yeah.
There we go.
Or, doesn't have to be sentientship. I don't know what or you just give a big cat. You know, yeah.
Very intelligent.
They don't want to be found.
Yeah.
You're not going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Elk don't care until they panic. And then you get murdered by elk.
But stomped to death.
Rammed, gored.
Or that, okay.
They see your corpse hanging off of the elk antlers, you know, 4 days later.
Figure out what happened.
Well, there goes Justin. But no, I really think you guys did an amazing job kind of capturing both the Midwest feel. Because for people that aren't from the Midwest, you know, we're listened to, I think we're up to like 130-ish countries. I don't even know anymore.
More than we're not.
We're listening.
I've never been to the Midwest either, but I know it's cold, and that's all I needed for the lyric.
It is extremely cold. Like I said,
I know it gets cold. I also know it gets ridiculously hot. So
yes,
we hit every end of the spectrum.
Yes,
in the average year, we can be 110 to about -25, -30.
Yeah,
it's too much. Too much of a swing.
We agree.
I enjoy it.
It keeps you guessing in life,
that's
right?
That's right. It keeps life fun.
You can have the full wardrobe.
That's why fall is the only nice time in the United States outside of, I guess, California. I guess fall is also nice in California, but it seems like September, October is the ideal month.
No, we get a couple good weeks in August. A couple good, maybe a week of good in May.
Today was pretty good.
This is my favorite weather.
Yeah.
72?
Yeah.
With a breeze?
With a breeze.
Yes. A little bit of decent spring in there?
Oh, no, yeah. we've never had a good spring once.
Yeah, it's just usually either hot or really wet.
Northern Ohio's never had one good spring for humans.
It's just humid.
You just wait.
Yeah, wait.
You sit in your house and you look.
Wait till fall gets here again.
Summer, okay. Sure. 2 weeks of summer.
Yeah.
A good spring for humans.
Yeah, it's not the best, but, you know.
Salamanders like it.
There you go.
Salamanders love it, which we got to talk about. We'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Oh, the giant salamander?
You know where I'm going, yes. But no, you have anything to add for Dogman Blues?
Love Dogman Blues. He suggested us a song for Gone Squatch, and maybe we should suggest Steve Cook's, what is it called?
Legend 97.
Legend of 97. Have you heard that one yet?
Legend 97.
Yeah, it's like a 1970s or 80s. He's a... I think I have heard it, but it's very good. I think I've heard the song.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's like good. He admits it's fully fake. Like he did that, I think, in 1997 is the first time that came out. But he's a radio jockey out of Northern Michigan. When that came out, he did it in like 1997. I think literally was the year it came out. Legend 97. And he's, you know, he made up that whole thing of every 10 years it's seen, because there was kind of a little bit of a pattern, kind of not. So he kind of like, you know, crossed off some sightings.
Artistic license.
Yeah.
That's what we call
but
it.
But he admitted it. He never lied.
He invented like an interval, sort of like Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Yeah. But he never lied. He fully admitted that I made this up.
Right.
And some of the Dogman community latched onto it as fact.
Mm.
And Steve, the whole time, because he literally is, he's only 30 miles from our cabin. He's one town over, he's just one town north.
Okay.
Up by Gaylord.
Nice. I've been through there before.
Yeah, we've ice fished right next to it.
Okay.
That was where the Pike Lake was.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But yeah, No, I love, love, love Dogman Blues. My son's favorite song. Literally every time I play it, he'll start doing his little stompy feet and he waves his hands around and he gets all excited and he'll wait. He'll sit there and be like, you know, waiting for, and he'll, sometimes he doesn't make the noise. He'll just like lip sing, I guess.
Mouth it, yeah.
But he's more, I guess he's really excited for me to do it.
That's probably it.
You know,
send a video, please. That'd be great.
We tried to get it for you yesterday, and he was just doing like the lip sync, like looking at us and go, woo, you know, just make it, no, not making any noise. But every once in a while, he'll go, woo.
Once he starts talking more, yep, sure,
yeah,
he'll do it.
Like
more.
Literally, he's one year old and 3 months.
Yeah.
It's always nice to hear about the fan. So
that's right.
I'm telling you, he's your number two fan.
Yeah. One and a
half.
We
love our fan.
We love our fan. It's so funny.
Fan-ish.
It's just funny that they had the same joke that we kind of had the whole time.
I never had that joke.
No, you said it.
You're the one
that said the YouTube thing.
I know. I knew the YouTube page.
Yeah, that was like our joke. That's what I'm referencing.
These guys are so great. They have to have a million fans.
Yeah. No, I'm strictly talking to YouTube count, making that joke. You're the one that's boosted
I have done
some damage.
Considerable bit to the plays on Senior Pinch.
He's helping the algorithms.
Gone squatching.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. So we have Freaking Out Frank. Freak Out Frank.
Freak Out Frank, yes.
Now
Freaking Out Frank.
Before we play this is a UFO abduction song, right?
That's correct. Yeah, it's about a guy who's experiencing some UFO abduction scenarios, and his roommate doesn't quite believe him.
I don't believe him.
You don't believe you've been abducted.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. All right. Hit the pink button for me. Yes.
I see you, Frank, just looking at me like I'm some kind of freak. If it was up to me, I wouldn't slam all my doors. Then again, nobody asked me. I look at the stars, I'm up all night. Am I looking at Mars? Am I seeing lights? The things that came to me that night made glass fall from the shelves. People don't talk to me anymore. There are no words to tell. I can't say what it'd say anyway. Things came and took me away. I still feel trapped in yesterday. I guess, Frank, I'm doing swell.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them. These gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories. And along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
Save big money on everything at Menards. Keep your guns, ammunition, and valuables secure with Sports Afield Gun Safes. We have multiple sizes available to fit your needs. The spacious interiors are fully carpeted to protect against scratches and include adjustable side shelves to suit your storage needs. Save big on Sports Afield at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale.
Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
There we go.
I love it.
Yeah. So that one I don't know as much. You haven't played that one for me as much.
I played a lot for me.
I know. I'm just saying. That one I'm not. The other two I know, like, probably everywhere
I'm
do it.
I'm going to go to 15 Bigfoot festivals a year.
I know. That one I don't know as much. But I did have a question with the title.
Yeah.
Do you draw any inspiration from Frank Zappa for the title?
No.
Thank goodness.
I love Frank Zappa, but no.
Because his first title's Freak Out. By Frank Zappa, so I didn't know if you were like paying it a little homage there with the title.
Potentially subconscious, but subconscious at best.
I'll accept that. There we go.
So tell us about Freak Out Frank.
Freaking Out Frank. Yeah, it's about a fella who's having some strange experiences at home, and he's living with at least one roommate, Frank, who's aware of. And then these experiences are causing this guy to have some bizarre behavior. Like he's getting a little paranoid and maybe he's annoyed that no one believes him. And Frank starts to shut him out of his life. And it's sort of this common theme of isolation and that kind of unites all the three songs we're talking about, whether it's the Dog Man or the guy from Gun Squatch or the guy in Freaking Out Frank. They're all experiencing some sort of loneliness or isolation where they can't quite relate to people. And I suspect that that's endemic to the two people in the cryptozoology community. Trouble relating to people at times for a variety of reasons. So he's having a hard time and he's getting really frustrated because these hellish things are happening to him, and it's not like a pleasant abduction. It's one of the bad ones, and it keeps happening over and over again, and no one believes him. And that's kind of the story of Freaking Out Frank.
Mm. And then he finally just, yeah, I guess I'm doing fine.
Yeah. There's nothing else you can say.
Right. You accept it.
No one believes him anyway. You know, it's just a sad thing. I think it's kind of how a lot of these things happen with abductions, you know, or even Sasquatch encounters, whatever. It's people, it's like, well, why should I say anything anyway?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine 90% of it doesn't matter what the encounter is, anything on the abnormal side of things, paranormal or cryptozoological, what have you, I bet that 90% of them aren't even reported anyway, because what's the benefit of saying something to your, whether it's to your roommate or to the newspaper, whoever, no one's going to believe you.
Mm-hmm.
If not more, I mean,
right. Yeah.
Literally.
And you lose credibility, you lose social status. There's so many marks against you than for you that it's not even worth it.
Instantly. We talk about that a lot. Probably the 60 and up generations have so many amazing encounters as far as talking about this field, whether it's aliens, Bigfoot, Dogman, or other, that they're going to die with those guys and gals.
Their stories are gone.
Yeah, because of that feeling of, like you said, isolation, that this... I can't tell anybody about this because nobody's going to take me seriously is the best option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the worst option is I get ran out of town, you know,
right.
Which used to happen for UFO encounters.
Lose your job.
I mean, we've covered some of the, you know, 60s and 70s famous UFO encounters. We're not talking 200 years ago, 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking in, you know, our parents' lifetimes, our grandparents' lifetimes. And these people are literally running out of town for just saying that they had this experience.
Right, yeah. And it's not even controversial. That's the problem.
No.
It's just a thing you experienced that everyone else thinks should not happen.
That didn't happen. You're lying.
Yeah.
Why would I lie about this?
It's the
point. Why would I lie about being essentially molested by these things?
Well, you just want attention.
Yeah, as they have meant. Yeah, I know.
And in a weird way, the songwriting aligns in a weird way with like the Me Too movement. It's like there's people have these injustices being done to themselves, and then there's no outlet for them to talk about it.
Yeah,
it's sort of this weird. I don't know. For me, it was two things that kind of spurred this song on for me. Well, one was there's a song called Aliens Exist by Blink-182 that Tom DeLonge wrote.
Of course.
I always love that song. I always love Blink-182, and I love that he was able to write a really cool, you know, catchy pop song.
Yeah.
And I kind of took it as a challenge. It was a songwriting challenge for me. It's like, how can I write a good song about it in my own way? And the other was I read a book called Missing Time by Bud Hopkins, which is, I think it's out of print now, but you can find it for not that much money. But that book was really amazing. It's really just a collection of people's encounters and experiences with abduction.
Hmm.
Many of them done through hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. And I first encountered that author through, I think it was Art Bell, through because I'm old enough to have listened to Art Bell through on Coast to Coast back in the day in the 90s. And Art Bell and was just, you know, life changing for me.
I think many people in this community, Art Bell was
absolutely
a fundamental brick. You know, as far as serious radio talk or serious talk, I guess.
Well, he's that window into that world.
Yeah.
You know,
somebody that would, even when he had like Mel's Hole, you know, Mel on and stuff like that.
I love Mel's Hole.
We do too. We love Mel's Hole.
Well, yeah.
Mel's Hole Part 1, 2, and 3. They're all good.
The Wombat Farm and everything.
The Tumor Seal.
The Tumor Seal. Oh gosh, now you got me on Tumor Seals.
Sorry.
No, but for the abductions, you know, we've only had a handful of abductions or abductees on our show, and it's hard for about every one of them. It's a hard process, you know, to deal with, and the regression therapy and all that. I have mixed opinions on it, but if it helps you, it helps you. I mean, what are you going to say if it helps somebody?
Right, yeah. It's like a chiropractor. You know, it's supposed to be quackery, but guess what? It helps and it works. But I don't know. It's outside of the mainstream dogma.
Do you have anything else to add for freaking out, Frank?
Well, I know
we're going to talk a lot about cryptids and everything like
right,
that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I just think this song and then all three of them in general does capture a lot of the feelings and emotions that, you know, circle through our community. So I think you've done a very good job at doing that, I think, and without even being part, you know, really in this community to see these people like we have or been up and close with a lot of people at a lot of these festivals that we go to. We're surrounded by these people, if that makes sense. Bigfoot people, you know, alien people, people like us. So you just really captured a lot of the emotional side. Right, yeah, all that. It's like you were already in the community. So it's good. You're doing a good thing.
What do you mean, these people?
Us weirdos.
Stop, I gotta pee.
Us weirdos. Us people that don't subvert the dominant paradigm.
I'm definitely a crypto adjacent. You know, I'm not full time there. Like I feel like most people aren't, but definitely an interest of mine. And I'm sure, as you know, not all of my songs are cryptozoologically
right.
related, but it's probably a good 40-60% of them are.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going to keep going. So I don't want to pigeonhole myself, but it's going to keep going that way. Like I said, I want to do a Spring Heel Jack song. I've got a Mothman song that's in the chamber.
There are cryptid songs out there, but you know, they're few and far between. They're out there, but
more few and far between good ones.
That's for sure. 100%. That's for sure.
I would love for your listeners to give me some feedback. Well, what's the next cryptid that Senor Pinch could do a song about? I feel like that's a good voting, a good poll or something.
I think that may just happen.
Yeah, cryptid vote. So, we could organize that.
Are we going to do that through our? Let's just do it through our Facebook.
Yeah, we can do that through the Facebook. I don't know the date this comes out of the top of my head, but we'll have it in there if you want.
Heck
Noah
yeah.
From Mr. Senior Pinch.
That's right.
So my big suggestion is a Californian cryptid.
Oh.
That is very near and dear to our hearts.
Yes.
That next spring we're going to try to get the funny again. We were $400 shy this past year.
So we'll try again.
Yeah. The Trinity's Alps giant salamander, which is literally a giant salamander that's the biggest size that's been reported is about 9 feet.
Yes.
but it's from Trans Alps, California. Mm-hmm. You know, probably still, I don't even know, 10, 15 hours from you. Your guys' state is...
California's a big state.
Friggin' so long. I don't know. It probably takes, what, 3 hours to drive across? And 30 hours to drive down?
Probably.
Yeah, depending on traffic.
Yeah. But no, that's one that we hold near and dear to our heart. You guys are Californian people. That's a Californian cryptid that doesn't get as much light. And we've covered it so many times about being a cryptid that is, for everybody at home already knows, but Noah, do you know a lot about that cryptid?
I know a little bit about it, which means I probably know more than 99% of people about it, not as much as you.
Both are fair.
I'm a huge fan of what I call the boring giant cryptids that are just giant versions of animals.
Okay.
Whether it's the giant salamander or the Joba Fofi over there in Africa, which is slightly more exciting. But I just love cryptids that are just bigger versions of
big
something
things
that already exists. Yeah.
So that one, a lot of the eyewitnesses are actual like herpetologists. So people that study salamanders, people that have worked with like giant Japanese salamanders. So it's not Joe Smo drunk on his kayak saying he's seen a 7 foot long salamander in the river.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a guy that worked, or a group of guys that worked with giant Japanese salamanders that had seen 6 and 7 foot long salamanders.
So they know.
And be like, it, you know, that's Andreas Japicanus in this river. That's not the scientific name. I made it up off the top of my head. Sounded good, didn't it?
I was questioning it. I've heard you enough to know that one just sounded funky.
These guys had worked with giant salamanders from around the world, the biggest in the world, and had seen one in the Trans Alps, and were like, "Well, yeah, it's one of those, you know, a cousin of that."
Mm-hmm.
So I really think they are still alive. I don't think they will be in the next 20 years unless help is provided to them. So for you guys out in California, here's how much your government takes it seriously. Is it they are sitting on what we call like gray laws for California, to where there are laws already approved by the Californian government to protect them and their habitat the second a viable DNA specimen comes in.
Hmm.
So they believe that they're real enough or were real enough to have already passed legislation to protect them. The second, it doesn't have to be a full-bodied animal. You know, it can be genetic samples. But the second that comes in, you know, there's laws to protect them. All of these travel resorts stop being built.
Mm-hmm.
All these dams stop being built.
Mm-hmm.
All this habitat encroachment stops that second.
And we're going to find it.
That's the goal. And I mean, really it is, because I think it's one of these cryptids that is literally
still out there
on that verge. Like, I wanted to talk about that with, you know, we talked about that with Dogman, the Dogman song. And, you know, this paranormally endangered. I think, you know, the Trans Alps is a full-blood cryptid, like full flesh and blood. But it's paranormally endangered, where this thing in our lifetimes, me, you, and Jay, will be dead. There will not be any more Trans Alps giant salamanders by the end of our lives unless something happens.
Unless we find it.
Unless we find it.
We're going to find it.
Or the group that's working out there. There's already that group. I don't care.
We're going to find it.
Well, you can be petty.
Huh?
You can be petty.
Petty? No, I'm just saying. It's written in the stars. I've already seen it. We're going to find it.
I don't care who finds it, but unless it's found, what's the Lorax quote? Nothing will ever get better. It's not. Unless somebody like you cares an awful lot.
That's nice.
Something roughly like that.
Sounds Seussy.
Yeah, but Atlas literally watched the Lorax last night.
Oh, okay. Convenient.
But no, that's one.
Well, if you guys go and try to save the salamander, let me know. Me and my brother will drive up and save the salamander right with you. That sounds like a good time.
Oh, we've got a crew.
Well, I think Senior Pinch just joined the crew.
That's right. We need music along the way.
Yeah.
No, so seriously, for that study, and I don't want to toot it too much.
He's in the river. Floating away.
Eating a camper.
There goes Mr. E. Saving Jay. Yeah, writes itself.
Writes itself. No, we have I won't name the lab here, but there's a full-fledged state laboratory backing us on this trip.
Yes.
So we have the crew.
Wright Patterson?
Like what?
Is it Wright Patterson Air Force Base?
No.
No, this is an actual lab that...
This is a salamander lab.
Yeah.
No, this isn't... Yeah, I don't know if I'd take Wright Pat backing.
No. Heck no.
Like, yeah, Wright Pat's going with us. It's funny, the train's out disappeared.
You're taking money from Big Salamander?
Right, yeah. Wait, why are we walking in the middle of the woods with this gun in my back? I don't know.
Money from Big Salamander made me laugh. Yeah. That's a Patreon t-shirt.
We're taking it away.
No, money from Big Salamander. Yeah. So what other cryptids, what other kind of things are you... Well, before I move on to that, I should stop. For this vote, we'll do it for you. We'd be happy to. But what's some of the cryptids you want on there for you personally?
What was the question?
For the vote, like we put a vote out there on our, you know, our feed.
Oh, it's open ended.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. I already know what I have. Like I said, what I'm kind of interested in writing about right now is like Spring Heel Jack, and I think there's a couple other ones. But if this community come up with a couple other ones, then maybe we can make that happen.
Oh yeah, we can definitely do that.
I can't commit to a certain timeline, just given the fact that I'm having, you know, with life and having a kid and all that stuff. But I can promise it will get done eventually.
Good. Good. We're excited.
I apparently drank all my beer.
Yes, you did.
I would have grabbed moonshine if you would have told me.
I didn't know you were out.
I drank a lot of beer during this interview already.
Mm-hmm. It's all gone.
No, so yeah, life and kids, and I get that. Believe me.
I don't.
Well, you tangentially.
Life.
Experienced.
Gosh, I guess you're right.
You drove up to Toledo sometimes two times a week.
Yeah, I know.
3 months.
Yeah, I might as well add a kid.
Well,
I just don't have to change the diapers.
Not yet.
I know.
No, so yeah, I get that. Yeah, but Spring Hill Jack is another really killer one. We haven't done an episode.
Yeah, we haven't touched it yet.
Which we will.
I feel like you guys are saving a lot of the good ones just because for longevity purposes. You got to save some good ones to keep the show going, I feel like.
They're all good ones.
They're all great.
They're all good ones.
If you can't make a cryptid great, you're not doing a good enough job.
Yeah, I guess.
Agreed.
I don't know. I bet we can find some examples that aren't that great.
I mean, we were even working like Mountain Boomers.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess we haven't touched one that's not great.
That we haven't made great.
Oh, they're all interesting.
That's for sure.
No, they all have, whether they're real or folklore or, you know,
or from Adobo. Between.
The Adobo one is, we'll talk about that off air. That could be a song.
That's my vote. We'll talk about that after.
The Adobo monster.
Yes, Google it.
Well, you need another word.
I know, but I think it would probably pop up.
But no, so what other kind of cryptids, what other kind of stuff are you interested in this field?
Oh, man, all of it, really. Sometimes I find myself on that, it's like that Wikipedia that's just cryptids, and I just kind of find myself clicking through, just reading about
cryptid
them. And I've mostly heard of all of them, but sometimes I find something that's truly, I don't know, it's... I guess my favorites are, have always been, always will be sort of the hairy hominids, you know, whether it's mm-hmm. Sasquatch or Yeti or the Almas or the Almasty or the smaller ones like the...
Orang Pandek?
Or the Menahune or what I just found out about recently was the Pombero, which is one that's in Bolivia or maybe Paraguay. It's like a 3 foot tall little ape man that's in their folklore down there. I love all the living dinosaurs. I was a dinosaur kid. I think one of my first search engine searches was do dinosaurs still? And that's kind of how I found out about Mokole Mbembe was me trying to find if dinosaurs were still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Mokole Mbembe or the pterosaurs or the ropin or what's the T-Rex theropod one that there's one in the Congo and I think there's one in Australia too. I forget the name of it. There's like an aboriginal.
There's one in Canada.
Both of them.
Yeah. There's the Yukon T-Rex, too.
I mean,
a Yukon one, too?
Pretty sure, right?
Yeah, it's in our season finale.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's a lot to the Living Dinosaurs season finale, like 8.5 hours.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's
the
Partridge Creek Beast is the theropod from the Yukon.
Mm.
No way.
Where literally these guys from 1890s were hunting. There's a couple versions of the story. But it came out in a 1920s paper well before we thought theropods had feathers. But came out, you know, we're talking about this beast that was could pick up an elk carcass in its mouth and carried it away without it touching the ground. You know, got in a fight, not a fight, but got into skirmishes with hunters. This big feathered lizard monster.
It was like a T-Rex with feathers.
Yeah. Euteranus is what most people call it today. Is it was like a smaller, it wasn't huge as far as theropods go.
You know, 20, like a nanotyrannus or
yeah, like 25 feet long, you know, 15 feet tall.
Big enough.
Big enough to pick up an elk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it had full feather. It had a full coat of feathers when these guys were describing it, which, you know, even in the 90s, the 1990s, people weren't really talking about.
Not at all.
It was towards the end of the 1990s where paleontologists were starting to talk about quills.
Well, we just had that picture someone posted in our Facebook or Discord or something about, you know, way back in like the old English like descriptions, they showed like these big creatures with feathers. Like the way they drew them, it just looked dumb. Like didn't even look like
dragons,
right?
And then dinosaurs, and then.
But now it's coming back.
Dragons again,
because like on their old drawings, they had feathers and stuff like that, and it just looked ridiculous. But now it's like coming full circle around. Oh, they have, go figure. They had feathers.
I just hope the time portal thing is right with sauropods. Just I want to see a 110-foot tall animal walk out of a portal.
Yeah,
it's just a big portal.
Walk out of the, you know, and just be like,
He's gasping for air because everything's polluted.
Lungs explode, eye fall out of skull. No.
Sounds confused.
But we talked about that in the Yukon too, that a Native American man had seen a 50-foot tall sauropod like animal come out and then be confused and get into the water because it's where it felt safe. And then it probably died.
Water's probably too cold for it.
It probably did not enjoy life.
Probably not.
No, but so you like them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love all the living dinosaurs. The one I was thinking of from the Congo, I think it was called the Kasai Rex. K-S-I-E. It was like
that
the
was in our
Kasai Valley. It was sort of a T-Rex type or some sort of massive theropod animal.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about that in the
season. I think there's one from the Aboriginal, it's kind of mixed reports, but there's one from Australia. That's sort of a two-legged theropod, I think.
We covered both of them because it was the Australian cow killer. We gave its real name in the final about the Australian continent.
It's some crazy name, right? It's hard to remember.
They still have an exiting sign for it where it was killing all the cows and people from I've said literally a lot. Where a guy was driving down the highway. I've showed you the video.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's driving down the highway and seeing the exiting sign for like a dinosaur. And he stopped the car and backed up. And he's like, wait a second. What? For 14 kilometers? It's literally like a picture of a theropod standing up, eating a cow.
Just avoid that road.
Yeah, that's when you turn around and be like, you know what?
Not worth it.
Whatever's down there is not worth it. If there's something you can carry off a cow.
Probably shouldn't drive by it.
No. The Kaiser Rex is the one we talked about where they wanted us to do t-shirt art of it eating you.
Me?
Where it was jumping, because that was the one that was jumping out to kill that big game hunter.
Yeah.
Out of the water.
So it wanted it to be me?
Well, it was me and you on a dirt bike, but it got you.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
It would. Clones.
Yeah. They're disposable.
Only one Mr. E.
Yeah. That's a shame.
I don't know what that meant.
It's a shame. Actually, no, there was going to be two Mr. E's, but remember? You got saved. That was a different show. Different show. Remember the Mighty Bowfin that came in and saved you?
No.
Okay. Never mind then. You really don't remember? All right, never mind. All right, screw. Yeah, moving on. I do think, though, I think you're, if you get involved with this community just a little bit more, now that you are actually, you're doing it right now, I think you'll see that how much... Your knowledge.
I'm engaging with the fan.
That's right. You're doing it. And I think you'll see like how much of this community you're actually capturing with these songs and how well you'd fit right in. I mean, it seems like you're already part of it with your music and things like that. And the fact that you haven't been exposed to it much is kind of shocking, to be honest. So I think you'll be welcomed with open arms in this community. Very, very warm welcome. That's just what I anticipate.
I think that we live in a weird time where people like us can kind of meet and have a discourse with each other. Whereas it wasn't possible maybe back in the day. And you can say all the bad things you want about today and how it's dystopian and all these various things. But it's also I think it's kind of nice that we can that your fans can berate us into getting in touch with you, and we can have a podcast together.
Yes.
And now we can become friends, and I can become your West Coast correspondent or whatever you want me to do for you guys.
I liked it.
Oh, don't worry, Noah. Yeah. I will be texting you.
There we go.
You've made several board. Poor decisions.
I guess I do want to say one thing, because I was sort of naming off my favorites. I mentioned I like the giant anything. I love the giant catfish, the giant snake, the giant crocodile, the mahamba, whatever it is. I love all those. The giant salamander. I also love the one-off weird ones. I love the like I said, Spring Hill Jack. But I also love, there was a guy actually not far from where I live. It was the Jetpack Man over L.A. that no one knew.
Oh yeah.
Because I live in El Segundo, which is like right by LAX. Like I'm maybe less than a quarter mile from the airstrip itself. So to hear that there was a man in a man in a jetpack, like way higher than anybody in a jetpack ever should have been, or even could survive with oxygen. To me, that's sort of what, you know Ken Gerhardt. He talks about flying humanoids.
Yes,
I feel like that. I feel like that qualifies. So someone who's like 4,000, 5,000 feet up, like wearing a jetpack, is just awesome.
I wish I could do that.
Do you think it was actually a guy?
Who knows? To me, it seems more unusual. I don't know. It seems like it could have been something else.
100%.
If it was less unusual, to me personally, it would be a dummy with a pilot.
I feel like they would have been arrested if it was something terrestrial, or by the books.
If it was a guy, he'd be dead.
You think so?
Dead or arrested?
Dead or arrested.
It's just some guy.
I think a fighter jet would have just.
He built his homemade jetpack.
Went, like he said, 2 or 3 times higher than any human could go.
Oh, he's smart.
Then a fighter jet from the military would have probably, leveled him into chunks.
Yeah, probably. Well, no, we let all the other stuff fly over our country.
Yeah, but this is an American man.
Oh, yeah. You're not allowed to do stuff in America.
No. He would be chunks.
Right, LAX. Yep.
Huh, it's raining it man.
It could have been a Chinese spy balloon. Who knows?
Let's see. Those are okay. If you're from Made in America, Chinese. It's a problem. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, anything else before we start wrapping it up?
No, I guess my I guess a couple questions for you guys.
It was, absolutely.
You go right ahead.
How do you guys deal with the stigma that we've discussed, from talking about my songs and Gone Squash and all that? How do you guys deal with it in your day-to-day lives? Because you meet people who aren't in the community. When you tell them that I run a podcast about cryptids, yeah. You have to explain what a cryptid is, and you get a weird look. How do you deal with that?
I say before we started doing this, I always didn't really mind talking about stuff, but it was hard to bring it up. Now, after we do it, it's all gone. I don't care. I don't. It's all gone. I don't have any. If I want to tell someone, I think about. In fact, I start a lot of conversations with, "Hey, do you believe in Bigfoot?"
That's literally how the podcast formed.
Yeah, it's literally
me asking you.
Yeah.
Do you believe in Bigfoot?
Uh huh. And did I hesitate?
No.
That's right.
I wouldn't say hesitate, but you thought about it.
Like, analyzing the question, do I believe? Yeah, I do.
I don't want to say it was a hesitation, but you were like,
thinking. Yeah, I think.
I'm hammered, and this guy's yelling at me, do I believe in Bigfoot? How do I
Let's proceed? Think of a measured response. Yes.
This 300-pound hammered drunk man.
Who keeps constantly calling me over.
No, so my whole life's been different. And I'm a big believer that you're mostly different people through your whole life. After I had, like, seen a Bigfoot, and those years and years, didn't believe any of it, wouldn't talk about it, none of that. Now I think me and Jay are both pretty much in the same boat. We're like, we'll be anywhere. I don't care. I just don't care who's around me.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is. I'll be like, well, you know, what do you guys think about Bigfoot? Ah, that's stupid. Well, have you seen one? No, it's just dumb. Like, have you ever been out in the woods at 4 a.m. and you heard a bobcat call? No. And I play the sound or whatever, and you're like, well, that's freaking terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine something like that, but you feel it in your bones.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, now I'm just, you just, at some point, I think most people in this field, from my feeling, we'll get to that point of just not caring.
Mm-hmm.
You either don't make it or you do make it to that mm-hmm. point.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of things in life, too, where it comes to you wanting to do something. You want to try something new, but you're afraid. You hesitate. But until you take that first step or until you actually get into it, then all that fear is gone after you've did it. Like, you've made that first
step. Yeah, Bigfoot Jamboree.
That's right.
We talked about doing it for years, and then finally I was just like,
let's just do it.
Just do it.
So we did it, and we're doing it.
It's here. Like, it's 45 days away.
Yep. And next year, Senior Pinch will be there.
Next year, Senior Pinch, headlining.
Yep, headlining. Oh, that's awesome.
They agreed to it.
That's awesome. They're nice.
Amazing people. No, but that's that question. I hope you answered it. You got something else you said?
Yeah. And the last question is for both of you guys. Your Mount Rushmore of cryptids, what is it?
Oh, good question. That's funny because we were talking about
the and I want you to fill in the spots. It's Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Lincoln. Which one is which?
Oh gosh, I don't know. That's too specific. Oh gosh, I'm guessing that's rank, right? 1 through 4, maybe.
Yeah, however you want to do it, doesn't matter.
Well, Bigfoot. I mean, gotta have Bigfoot on my Mount Rushmore. He's just there. He has to be.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
In one form or another, whether it's Yeti, I feel like you can kind of include them in the same.
Right.
Category.
Yeah. It's all under the same umbrella. That's just put them under there. Maybe we should let's do it together. Let's combine to our Mount Rushmore. You already got your 4.
Yeah.
It's going to be way different.
This is hard though. So, I got Bigfoot. I always like including the Snallygaster. Snallygaster is always up there for me. It's just a fun one. But, you know, Mount Rushmore, maybe I'm overthinking it too much because, you know, that's significant, you know. They carve these men's heads in stone, you know. I don't know how big they are, hundreds of feet tall. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's in South Dakota, though, so it doesn't really matter.
No one will see it anyways. maybe 4 people might.
The third least visited state in the country.
Let's put it there. They probably hide another stuff with it.
Right below North Dakota.
Right, yeah, the other least visited state. Okay, so I got Bigfoot, Snallygaster. Oh, gosh. Maybe I'll throw the Frogman in there because it's an Ohio guy.
You're an idiot.
Why?
Love a good Frogman.
Everyone loves the Frogman.
5 people love the Frogman.
And they
outside of Ohio.
Yep, well, I'm doing it my Mount Rushmore. This is mine. And Braxy. I'm putting Braxy up there, too.
Mm.
The Braxton Monster. Flatwoods Monster, Braxy.
Flatwoods Monster, yeah. Braxy. Braxton County.
Is the Flatwoods Monster the same as the Braxy Monster?
Well, Braxy's
Braxy
a nickname.
Braxy County. And so they call it Braxy or her Braxy.
Okay.
Yes,
but it's the Flatwoods Monster.
Yes.
Love the Flatwoods Monster.
Yep.
How about you, Mr. E?
Actually, before I continue, I don't know if you can see it back there, but right by this mic stand, that red and green thing, is one of the last ever produced Braxy candle holders by the original in Flatwoods or Flatwoods, West Virginia.
Yep.
I mean, obviously Bigfoot always, you know, Bigfoot Yeti kind of thing. Every continent, including Antarctica, has one.
Mm-hmm.
It's here. That thing that, you know, carries across. I'm more mad at you for not getting the number 2, which should maybe be even the number 1.
Well, let's hear it.
Nessie.
See, everyone likes Nessie. You know what?
Mount Rushmore. Everyone likes.
I don't want to carve something that belongs in water out of water. It's torturous.
But no, as far as getting people into this field, the hearing about what even the word cryptid means. You know, Nessie and Bigfoot kind of share that moniker of indoctrinating people into this side of life.
Sure.
They're those two big ones.
They're the gateway drugs.
Yeah.
To cryptids.
I mean, Lauren Coleman.
Yeah.
Those are the two big ones for getting into this stuff. Next, and it's not really a cryptid, but we talk about this a lot on the show that, you know, that the definition has gotten looser and looser as times went on.
Right.
Would probably be a gray.
Gray alien?
Yeah.
Oh, that counts.
Because that's kind of walking that line. You know, it's an alien. It's a thing. It's an entity.
Some people believe
they're elementals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you see that face, that's a recognizable thing. You know, pop culture, you know, zeitgeist, all that, whatever you want to say. When you look at that, that speaks to whether you're in the field or not. You know what that is. You know what that means.
Bad.
Not great.
Yeah.
My last one is, like we've already said tonight, the new guy on the block, but he's taking the cryptid field by storm.
The Dog Man. Yeah.
I mean, Mount Rushmore is not the best presidents as a whole. It's not, you know, they're not known. It's the famous ones.
I got a question for you then, too, after the follow-up.
If it's about Teddy, you know, could suck an egg.
Huh?
Okay, what's the follow-up?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, Teddy's not on the Mount Rushmore, but who's your Teddy version of a cryptid? Teddy Roosevelt.
The North American hyena.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, I should have guessed that.
Or the Snally. You can pick either one. You know, I love the Snally. I love the Snallygaster. It does hold a special place in my heart, too, because how absolutely wacky it was. But how much actual evidence that it something like that existed.
Right, absolutely, yeah.
You know, it was the weirdest, like, looking thing. The descriptions of it were absolutely wacky. But constant amount of evidence from newspaper clippings, including the president of the United States leaving the campaign trail to hunt it.
Right. That's significant.
So it was taken seriously by enough people to kind of put it over the edge. So that would be my Teddy. Would be that or the North American hyena, which is still seen today.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
Teddy Roosevelt also had one of the only president that I know of too that had written about a Sasquatch encounter.
Yep.
He written about it.
Yeah, he did write about it. Yes, you're right. He did write about it.
It was it's not his, but
some,
it was
some
his.
People. Some experts claim. Some people say that that it was actually his encounter that he masked.
Yes,
I concur.
Some people think that it was.
Some independent researchers claim
that it was the work of our. What do they say on Ancient Aliens? Future
art. But could it be?
Yes. The answer is yes. Our ancient astronauts. Or yeah, that's what it is. Was it ancient astronauts that did this? Yes. Every time.
So Noah, who's your Mount Rushmore?
Why would they nuke the dinosaurs?
Because they deserved it.
Exactly. But those are my only questions for you guys. And
well, who's your Mount Rushmore? We're not going to let you enter a question.
Oh man, my Mount Rushmore. I'm going to go with my favorites. I'm not going to go with who I think is the most impactful. I would put the skunk ape up there as my hairy hominid because I love a good skunk ape. I would throw the the giant spiders. I love a good giant spider.
Ooh, okay.
And I was going to throw Makola and Bembe in there, but I can't have two Congo cryptids.
That doesn't matter.
I think it's going to be Skunk Ape, Joba Fofi. I'm going to throw Goatman up there because I love the Goatman. I love how horrifying it is.
Which Goatman?
Well, I guess the Maryland
Goatman. It matters.
Goatman.
That's like saying which Bigfoot.
It matters.
I'm going to say Maryland.
Okay.
And then I'm going to say, God, it's going to be a giant something. I'm going to throw giant salamander. I love the giant salamander.
He made the list.
Yeah. My giant salamander is my Roosevelt.
You don't know what you just did. You don't know what you just did. Senior Pinch just said giant salamander is his Roosevelt. The only other person I would ever think would ever utter those words in that sentence ever in my life is Mr. E over here.
Well, it could be a t-shirt.
Well, it's probably already in the works.
Huh. Interesting.
A t-shirt that all two people would get.
You heard it here first. Yeah, Senior Pinch's next song, Gone Salamandering.
Yeah, with Teddy.
With Teddy. All right, Noah. We like to end this with, we're going to have you tell.
Before he goes, give us your.
Finish my sentence, please.
Sorry. Thought you were doing the thing.
Before we end this, I want you to give out, once again, I'll have all the links below, but where people can find you, how you want them to listen to you, that kind of stuff for your guys' music.
Oh, yeah. The band is Senor Pinch. Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, Amazon, all that stuff. It's out there on everything. So just, yeah.
Blow these guys up. Share them with a friend. They're Mr. E's favorite band at this point.
Yep.
So help blow these guys up where they can do concerts about 50,000 to 60,000 people.
Yeah, and about approximately how many? 800 miles away, maybe?
Huh?
And so they can do concerts about 800 miles away?
Well, from California, probably about 1,500.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
We're pretty far from California, but they're going to do it.
That's right. They are. Next year.
So, Noah, how we like to end it here is on the count of three, we'll all scream bye into the microphones, and the outro will play, and then we'll have you hold on for a minute, and we'll talk to you. But are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1...
Bye.
Bye.
I saw a girl. She saw me. She took off running into the trees. I smell her breath. I smell her blood. She's over the next ridge. She's stuck in the mud. I've been howling at the moon, trying to shake these dog man blues. Midwest skies, they get so cold. Last of my kind, I'm getting old.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.